This is CliffCentral.com.
What's your name? No, yes, you are.
Hello. Hey, Dave.
Did you just say hello? What's the date, Ryan?
It's the 23rd of November. Is it the 23rd? It's the 23rd of November.
You're kidding
2018.
Me. That is ridiculous.
I know. It's almost payday. Thank goodness.
What did you just say?
Today? Is it supposed to be today? Because it's not in my account yet.
Did you just say the P word?
Payday.
Tell me about this thing.
Dave. When you have a 9-to-5 like I do, every month, on a set date, they pay you for the month's work.
No,
there's a lot of security in that, Dave. It's very relaxing. You know it's going to happen every
they
month.
They pay you to do the snacks.
No. Don't hate on my job, Dave.
What is your actual job description?
I'm the snack maker. No, now I'm the office manager. Officially.
Actual office manager.
Actual office
manager. So someone wants a stapler, they come to you.
It's have incredible. A lady doing the stationery, but yeah, essentially.
Are you in charge of the lady who does the stationery?
Yeah, I'm in a management position over one person.
Is it?
But yeah.
What's her name?
Rachel.
Okay. She's the staplers.
She's at the front, so it's easy for everyone to go there.
But you're in charge of you. She comes to you first to procure.
For the big stapler decisions, Dave.
That's amazing.
I know. And today, I've also got to drive around to do deliveries. So today they have me driving, which I don't want to do on
a
Friday.
They've given you like quite a cool title for the delivery guy.
It's like lipstick on a pig.
So where do you think, where are you going to go? What's the ceiling for?
Oh, well, I want to be a comedian, Dave. So.
Do you think they've sensed that? That they don't give you the big responsibilities? Because with great responsibility comes great power.
No, I don't want a responsibility, Dave. Because I want to, at the drop of a hat, just do
off.
Things. Just fucking... be a comedian. So no, there's not much growth there. But you've seen our agency, and you know how much fun I have there.
Why do you want to be a comedian so badly?
Because I think it's what I'm good at. I hope it's what I'm good at, and I love doing it. I actually think, and this is weird, I don't know if my heart's in the right place here, I enjoy creating the funny stuff more than I do going out there and performing it and having people laugh at it.
Did you figure that out?
I don't know, but it's the actual creation of the content that gets me more excited. You know, thinking of something, I'm like, oh, this is funny. Not so much the refining of it. So I don't actually know if that makes me a stand-up or I should be a writer or maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree completely.
Well, the cool thing is that in this now, you've got the opportunities to do it.
Yeah.
Because I was talking to three comedians last night and... We did this thing at the Lyric Theatre called...
It was last night.
Laugh at First Sight. It was based loosely around Valentine's Day and Valentine's Day-based things.
Okay.
So I'm not saying that you had to do your whole full 20-minute set on Valentine's Day, but they kind of forced you to write. So that was the first thing.
Okay.
So a lot of comedians aren't forced to write. Sit down at a desk on a Monday morning.
You kind of rely on your established things. Yeah. And did you find it to be a good exercise
It was incredible. I learned something. And also that's the other thing. Like, you're 48 years old, you think you're not going to learn anything.
Yeah, you get stuck in your ways, I would imagine.
Properly
even at
30
I'm stuck in my ways. Yeah.
No, I learned how to write.
Was it a daunting thing? Were you like,
it was huge. It was massive. And also you doubt yourself. You think, no man, I like this material, I like this joke. It becomes your crutch. It becomes easy to do because it gets a laugh. Now you're writing a thing, hasn't been tested. The stuff that I did last night hadn't been tested anyway. And it was noticeable because it wasn't smooth off my tongue.
Yeah.
It was I had to get the concept explained to me and then explain it to the audience.
Yeah.
So it was like a double explaining. So it wasn't needed.
But considering it was the first time you'd done that material, you were happy with...
Happy.
Tell everyone what
it's
about.
Car.
Okay, so who was there?
So on the bill, so this company, Mannequin Films, have done two of them. The one was... Well, they've done tons. They've done Jason Goliath. They've got a partnership with Showmax and Box Office.
Okay.
So that's the DStv version of pay TV.
Yeah.
Of pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's the same thing that Nationwide, the Trevor Noah thing,
was
on.
Yeah, that was
Showmax.
On that.
Yeah.
So exactly. So they have massive marketing with it, and they're pushing it because, you know, the times have changed. Like there's Netflix is kicking everyone's ass. So these guys have come up with these things, and they've gone local, which is great. So Jason was on it, obviously Trevor's done it, and Mannequin Films it. So they did one last month called White Christmas 2.
Okay.
And Scott Bezadino, Robbie Collins, Mojack DeHoko and Glenn Biederman Pam.
Oh, okay.
And I actually spoke to Glenn after he did the show, because he was sitting in the edit. So that's the cool thing. You sit there afterwards, and you sit with the editor and you go through what you like.
Cause often for real? It's like on the night?
Yeah, often they're not on the night. This is a week later.
Okay.
So you'll sit still, in the edit afterwards, you get some input. Because a lot of the times the editors have seen half the show or none of the show, and they're sitting there, they don't get that that was a callback or there was a thing that you brought. So he sat there with them and he said, take that joke out, put this one in. So that's an incredible hands-on thing.
Yeah.
So that's White Christmas. That's coming out tomorrow. So if you're on Showmax or anything tomorrow, you can go
please watch it. I'm sure it's going to be blazing. Those are all funny.
Well, it is, and it's also like there's no question that it's great because you've got five cameras.
From a production point of view, a 500-seat venue.
You have 500 people watching you. The other comedians, so the vibe's great. Last night was hosted by Emilio Tobias.
Oh, for reals?
He's so good. He just doesn't take any shit from the audience.
You're a big fan of Emilio, actually. You've spoken several times, they didn't clap hard enough
for Kate. And he comes, Kate Pinchak. So he comes out, he goes, what did Kate do to you? Huh? She made you laugh. She's up here.
Yeah.
And he shut them out, and then they clapped harder. So he's like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's like a dad figure. He looks like a dad figure.
No, I would have him just as my bouncer for when I go on tour.
Yeah.
And he can host and just get everyone like, I'm in charge. I'll fuck you up if you don't. He did an incredible ad. I won't say who it was for, but it was for Russell's.
Oh, it's on Facebook. Oh, yeah, it was funny.
Fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it was a good ad. Yeah. He seems like if he was a bouncer, he would aggressively kick them out, and then in the parking lot, he'd give them a talking to about how they should turn things around and just be better. Yeah.
Come back in. No, when you're ready.
Yeah.
You can come back in.
But yes, I saw the Russell's ad and it was blazing. It's not on TV, yeah? It's just a YouTube.
He also said like the guys that were running it, the Young Oaks, young directors, young people. So they're in that vibe. They have a band.
Yeah.
So they were hired to do the thing. And he just said they allowed him to improvise a lot of stuff, but most of it was written. But he was cast brilliantly.
Okay, he was.
If you're on YouTube, go and check. Obviously, we can't punt companies, but it is from a comedy point of view.
Well, we're punting a media. It's funny. Just the byproduct is that.
And it also brought out, and you know what's happened because of social media? These companies are getting smart.
Yeah.
So they put a team onto that ad that anything in the comments gets answered by the people at Russell's.
Yeah.
So Emilia's not in charge of it, but it looks like he's the one answering.
Oh, that's awesome.
So all their questions
good.
Are for him.
Oh,
so
he's a good face for that.
Exactly. So they've opened up a channel, and that's where we want people to get involved in this.
Yeah.
You've got a one-on-one with your customer right now in this thing.
Yeah.
How many have you been listening to podcasts, by the way, just to not talk about last night?
Have you been listening to some?
You said Joe Rogan?
Yes, I mostly clips on YouTube, Joe Rogan stuff and Bill Burr's stuff. He just rants and it relaxes me. I don't know why. I heard him talk about some ladies at McDonald's in New York started beating up some dude that worked there. They started slapping him around because he wouldn't take the $50 bill they gave them. And he landed up pulling out a lead pipe from nowhere and beating the shit out of them. Not cool. And he was like he had been in jail for homicide.
Oh, see.
And he was saying, yeah, you got to watch. You start slapping someone around and they're crazy. Like
they're crazier than you.
Yeah. So I listened to those. And then I listened to the BBC World News podcast just to...
That must be so interesting.
It is, actually. It gives you like a distilled version of what's going on in the world. Okay. On a podcast.
See, this is interesting because no one would have known that.
I listened to it driving to work. So
so you downloaded it before in the Wi-Fi area and then it's loaded.
Once it's on my the podcast thing on my iPhone, it just downloads when I'm on Wi-Fi.
What do you use?
So it's always there. They're just off iTunes.
Okay, so
it's the podcast app on my iPhone. Okay. So it's not Audible or whatever those other apps are. But it's super convenient. And
Overcast.
Yeah, I think Overcast is... Another one. What podcasts are you into at the moment, Dave?
I got into the most weirdest shit. It was nothing to do with
it
comedy.
It sounds like you.
It sounds strange. Nothing to do with comedy. It was business ones where they take something called How I Began or How I Started or Starting This or Starting Something.
Okay,
so it's all businesses that you know now and then they speak to the person that started it.
Oh, that's very interesting.
It's crazy to see the amount of failure that these people went through.
Yeah.
And so you just assume that, and then it's a housewife who saw a thing and she said, can I do this? And then 20 people that spoke to her said, you can't do this.
Yeah.
So all those stories of, and I suppose I relate to them because I do the beer stuff.
Yeah.
But I'll find out, I'll tell you what it's called now when I look on my phone.
Yeah, it's amazing because you always see the end product of these big companies or these inspirational ideas. And it seems like Everest to get there, but once...
And also you judge them, you think, well... Why they're successful?
And, but so once you see the blueprint for how it happened and how it came together, you like it's achievable for the average man most of the time. It's not one giant leap; it's a collection of little steps.
Exactly. I spoke to a comedian last night on the phone, not at the gig.
Yeah.
And they were asking like, "What's the lineup? How do you get onto the lineup?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, "I don't know how I got onto this lineup."
Yeah.
Someone somewhere speaks about you and says, we're going to do this lineup. This is the person. So a lot of your career is fate.
Yeah.
And serendipity. I didn't know how I got into this lineup.
I didn't phone them.
And then even Emilio said to me, how do you get on TV?
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I'm like, I cannot answer that.
Yeah.
How do you get on TV? Well, how do you, at the moment now, you're a comedian, how do you think you get on TV?
To be honest, like you said, you've got to show up and just not be in people's faces, but it's a big thing is showing up, and I like to use the example of how I got on this podcast, is obviously it was a while ago now, I was even newer in comedy then, and there was a show at Bailey's, you remember that Bailey's show in Bedford View?
Yes.
Yes, I just went there to watch randomly, because I'm like, I got to get to know the guys, they got to, because it's about who you know, and I randomly went there, and Eric's like, we don't have a guest, do you want to be on it? Just because I rocked up there and watched a random show.
In the middle of Bedford View.
Yeah. So the point is that an opportunity, you know, arose just from being in the community, which is... Oh, do you want some Coke? Don't you just say...
Hey, you know, just last night, I was sitting backstage and there was a small little banky. You know the big banky, the small ones?
Yeah.
That you would get cocaine in.
Yeah.
And it was empty. So the guy comes in there and it's next to my bag. And he's like, okay, Dave, I see you ready for the show.
Yeah, you just emptied out that bag of cocaine.
Yeah, it's empty.
What are your thoughts on doing comedy? I mean, maybe not on cocaine, but intoxicated?
I don't know.
You always have a few beers.
This is horrible.
Yeah, it's flat coke.
Do you always have a few beers?
I'm saying, do you?
No. Not these days with driving. Cannot do it. The three or four times that I've been stopped, yeah, I've been lucky enough to not have had anything, and I still got more shit than I've ever had before.
Yeah.
So my license is up to date, my car's wheels, everything's like the tires, and I still
had to go. Just frustrated because they had nothing on you.
Exactly, but I still had to go stand at the van, and he's looking at me like this, going like, "Yeah, there's something wrong with the machine because it's blowing naught, but we know you've been drinking." So I'm like, guys, if the machine's naught, nothing's wrong with the car, I have to go.
Yeah.
But it's 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So they're like, go to the ATM. We've got your license. We've got your keys. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So I said, well, let's go. Let's go to the station. Let's see what we've got.
Yeah,
I'm happy.
See how this plays
now
out.
Now I end up at the station.
Oh my
so
God.
Even though you haven't been drinking, you've got nothing wrong with you. So yeah. I'd hate to. So you just can't. So Parker's is the worst one.
Strictly from a performance point of view, do you think let's
say that I'm doing it for the driving thing. But it doesn't do well. Even if it does, maybe check the edge if you're nervous, whatever.
Yeah.
You can't. Your brain does not function on alcohol.
Yeah.
In a funny way, I suppose some comedians, you do look at them and you think, he's having so much fun. It's a joy. Yeah. He might act drunk.
I know Mark Banks used to
slur some stuff, so it's an act.
Because when you see a guy get on...
My stuff is just sharper. If I've got a table of drunk people and I'm sober...
It's like a massive advantage.
I'm like, let's go.
Yeah.
It's like slapping a person at McDonald's.
If they don't have a leg pump. Yeah.
It's so much fun.
And when you see comedians
what other line? Because they've got one line each. Five of them have all got their line that they say.
Yeah.
That they've kept packed in their bag before they came to the comedy show. I'm going to shout out.
Just waiting to drop it. Yeah.
Wow, from a lyric, from a song or something. Yeah. Like, okay, what else you got? Let's go.
Yeah.
Fucking love it.
And you can see sometimes with comics that have had, maybe at more open mic top sets or top situations,
drinking,
it's when they've had too much to drink and it's just, you know, everyone's just like, no, this is not going anywhere.
I don't know about we do know of comedians who have had some issues with stuff, so then you go back and you think, hang on a minute, I wonder how much better they would have been.
Yeah.
That's including American comics that we know of, like people like Richard Pryor who had a heroin crack or speed or something. He was on that. A lot of them are on prescription stuff, so it's one is to wake up, one is to go to sleep.
Yeah,
it's just that you stop remembering which one it was that you took.
I suppose when you have very hectic tour schedules,
and also when you've got
when you have a time to sleep,
when you've got an ego and it's being fed by other people, so a lot of the times you're not buying the drugs.
Yeah,
because you're famous, you're nice to have as a personality add-on, so they'll invite you to the thing and it's free stuff.
Yeah.
And that's maybe not cool when your ego is not strong enough to deal with that, because you're being fed by all these people going, you're the best, you're the greatest.
Yeah.
And you yourself have got low self-esteem.
Yeah.
So you're going, I'll go to this thing because these people love me.
Yeah, it's quite easy to see how you could get caught up in that.
So let's talk about, last night,
Mannequin
Films, let's say a big up to them.
We
even play them a song.
Yeah.
they've done, so the ones that you see on Showmax, so you've seen Daywalker with Trevor, if you've watched the other one with Jason Goliath, had his own special. I think Donovan also had one as well.
I didn't even know those guys had specials, but
it's on there. So you go to Showmax, go to Box Office and go and download them. So this one's coming out in January and it's themed around Valentine's Day, but it's not necessarily that, like that. I mean, a lot of the guys like Nina Hasty did her normal set that you would hear, and then added on things in terms of relationships, just saying,
okay,
let me tell you about what's happened to me.
Okay.
But not specifically, because I can't remember Valentine's Day. I can't remember a thing. I do remember doing it regularly when you've got a person. But I've never done that cold calling. What do you want to come on a date, Ryan?
I think the biggest memory for, or the most emotional response I have for Valentine's Day, is at school and not getting, seeing all the hot dudes.
Were you not cool one dudes. Of the hot dudes?
Nah, man, I didn't get Valentine's from my not sister's one. School. No, my mom used to.
So you, what school were you
my
at?
Mom used to always organize.
Is it your aunt would drop something off at second break?
Well, we had a brother and sister school, so through my sisters, my mom would organize to get a Valentine sent to me.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's not cool. And then everyone's like, ooh, Ryan got a Valentine's. I'm like, it's just from my mom, guys. I know it's from my mom.
So we were at a boys' school, so the stuff that I got wasn't cool.
We weren't.
It was from one of the history, it's from a history teacher. So I think he's in jail now.
So we got, because we had a sister school.
They really is.
We said, no, he's a real criminal. We got banned from sending them dog food because obviously there was lots of.
Trying to be funny.
Yeah, it was very mean, you know, their dogs.
You know how hot those chicks are now?
Oh, yeah. Like, with so successful
stupid.
Lives.
So stupid. Very successful, very gorgeous people. And we all like sent them dog food because they're dogs. It's amazing how
meantime, we weren't
exists.
Any better. We were just as.
I've seen it with my kid now. He's 9, and there's already a culture of dissing.
And oh, yeah, absolutely.
I don't know where it comes from. I don't know why it exists. I'm just giving you ugly, horrible Diet Coke back. Why would you buy that?
Because it's zero calories, yeah.
Are you still into that?
Yeah, I've been dieting very strong.
Really?
Very much so.
And the gym stuff, you gave up?
No. I've still been just not competing because it was too expensive. But we'll see what happens next year.
Are you going to try it again?
Yeah, I'm going to try it again, man. It all depends on money, so.
Because I do remember you coming here with your... Your, what are they called? Your little packed meals.
Oh, yeah. That's because I used to gym before I got
brown
here.
Brown
so.
Rice, chicken. What was it?
No, it was oats
seven
in the
meals.
It was oats in the morning.
But dry oats out of the
so
bag.
So now I've
it's
been
like
eating.
A fucking horse.
Now I've been eating chicken and rice every meal, just not breakfast. Every meal.
So you got used to it now.
And weighed out.
So
it's
your poos
really
must
difficult.
Be boring. There's
it's
no
really
color difference. There. There's no texture difference. It's chicken and rice.
Yeah,
goes in, comes out.
Yeah, it's depressing. But it's my choice. So, and then obviously
and
when
vegetables?
It's... Vegetables? It's, yeah, and veg.
What?
Just mixed veg of just whatever's frozen. It works fine.
And are you just training to be a person that poses and they look at you and they clap and then you go back
well,
to your room?
Well, now that I want to do the personal training thing next year, the guy I shadowed, he was like... he got clients really quickly and I was like, oh, well, how did you do that? Did you market? And he's like, honestly, it doesn't even matter if you're particularly good at this. If you look a okay. certain way, you're going to get clients.
Oh.
So that's why I'm focusing hard on it to...
so you don't only want to be a comedian, writer, office...
Oh, you got to
earn
money, Dave. Office manager.
Office manager.
Yeah, you got to earn money, Dave. You know?
Cornelius says hi.
Hey, what happened to Michelle?
Michelle still says hello, but she's got, because of the busyness of the aquarium... She's still on the online and says hello. And
oh, because of the
things.
Summer months, or
I think so. Maybe the whales and the dolphins and the turtles.
I believe
need
that
extra care or something.
If I'm not mistaken, dolphins and whales are not allowed to get kept in captivity.
So what they do is they still feed them and send out like WhatsApps and please call me. You know what I mean? They still have broken dolphins can come in.
Okay, like Free Willy with his fin.
Yeah, they still have broken animals, and then you also go out. And fetch, like, they'll phone you, say there's a sunfish in the harbor, and then they'll go and rehabilitate it because it got lost.
Okay, but you just can't take healthy, happy dolphins.
No, you can't. And you can breed dolphins. You can, like, they've got the biggest program of. They've got these turtles that are born premature, and they're born without fins, and they're born without their soft shell, broken turtles. So they've got one of the biggest programs in the world.
Yeah.
So they'll often send the animals arrive from all over the world.
Well, that's one of the upsides
of zoos.
The
sea connects you, see?
Yeah. Well, that's one of the upsides of zoos because, yeah, in a way it is, I wouldn't say cruel, but it's not ideal that these animals are in a cage. But also,
now, people don't realize all the
zoos
stuff that
are
goes on.
Saving a lot of species. So it's, and unfortunately, to have money to do that, you've got to have attractions.
So we started like a broken comedian
zoo.
Not a zoo, like a place where we
like
can
a support
go.
Group.
Yeah, it's called The Box.
It's called Outside the Box on a Sunday where everyone talks about their week in a disgruntled fashion.
Have you with today's show? We're gonna theme it. In America, they've got this thing called Thanksgiving, which was last night, possibly this weekend. It's the last something of November in November. It's the last weekend in November.
So I googled it, and many religions.
You googled Thanksgiving.
I did.
Would you not have known about it just from watching every single American movie?
Yeah, I know that it involves turkeys.
And
it's
pie.
A Turkish
pumpkin pie.
Turkish. Pumpkin pie, Turkish.
And the thing is, America is kind of involved in Turkey at the moment because of that journalist that got killed.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Kwakwasani. It's a weird name. It's a weird name. Khashoggi. Every time I see it written, I'm like...
Every news person says their name differently.
Yeah.
They're like, his name's Khashoggi. That's a very well-known name because of Adnan Khashoggi, who was
an arms
dealer.
And that's a tricky thing because they're connected to so much money. So, you can have the moral standing of saying, okay, well, this country is not Turkey. What's it, that Saudi prince? Arabia. But there's a lot of money for America. So, that's a difficult...
Well,
what would you do?
Isn't that much money? Because only 11% of the oil... comes from Saudi Arabia.
No, but all the money that comes in through the arms, there's billions promised. And that's a difficult decision because morally, obviously, you can't just be slugging journalists.
Well, let's talk about your moral decision you had to make. So you got a guy that you saw make a joke that you didn't like.
Yes.
But then he runs a gig.
Yeah.
So he phoned you. So let's go through your moral...
The moral dilemma there was...
This part of the show is called Ryan Holiday's Moral Compass.
Yeah. No, it's he made a joke about rape. On social, and then defended it quite vehemently. Is that a word?
Vehemently.
Yeah.
Vociferously.
And I know he's not a bad guy.
He stood up,
he stood up for it
as well. He didn't back down.
Which is, you know, a balance between maybe his personality and his age. But I know he's not a bad dude. I know he's not, he doesn't think that rape is funny, like actually funny, you know. But
so he was going through, so comedians sometimes go through the news and think, I can make a funny joke about that and just pump through. Yeah. Current affairs.
Also, you know, you get tempted by, saying things like that in hope that I suppose it will catapult you to some sort of... It'll get you noticed, you know, in the world of social
media.
These
days it's weird because if you look at someone's someone's follow.
Yeah.
So they've got 5,000 followers.
Yeah.
Then you go through this stuff and you see some people are following because they love to hate.
Yeah.
They'll just say, what is this guy going to say next? What shit's going to come out of his mouth? So
100%.
There's also no rules in terms of what's out there anymore. So I can understand what he's doing. He's going, if I say this controversial thing, I'll get some likes.
Yeah.
Which is kind of almost an addiction.
It is 100% an addiction.
There is a word for it. Some people call it like that like addiction, where you're just going out, give me some
likes. I was speaking about this the other day when you post something and you go and check and see how it's doing. It's a sickness. It's a modern day. Anyway, so there's a lot of negativity. People were emailing all the gigs he's played at, saying please don't book this guy. So it's more the negativity surrounding him that I don't want to be associated with, or I'm nervous to be associated with. But as for him as a person, he's a nice dude. He really is. So I don't know whether to get the stage time at his show, or. And be associated with that or just forget it altogether. So that's a little, I don't know.
Did you do the show?
No, I was busy, so. Conveniently, yeah. No, I was busy, but he will ask me again, and I still don't know. I don't want that sort of negative heat. I'm sure I'm going
to
say something and get into trouble by myself at some point.
It's fine, no one's listening
to this. I don't need one any help.
So how would you deal with that? So a joke comes out of your mouth without being edited out of your brain.
Yeah.
And then you look at the audience and you see, okay, this is the thing. So his pathway was... Fuck you, I'm not defending it. You must get it. It's a joke. Get over it. That was his kind of theme of his defense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a joke. You guys need a sense of humor. It's a joke. How would you deal with that? Because you look at...
Well, I suppose there's a wide...
So say now that guy on the radio that said something about Julius Miniman. Let's not say what he said because I don't want to say that I said it.
Yeah.
But then he went later on the social media and said, I defend what I said. You guys need to realize that this is, you know, this is wrong. And then someone said he should have just backed out and just apologized.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, really? Like, can't you... have an opinion and stick with it? Is that
it? Is
it,
but
that?
It's all about.
So he stuck with it, and I'm like, well, good for you, buddy. Well done. Yeah. Like the same as when Joost and that other guy, I don't know who it was, some other dude had been with that popular stripper and had done some cocaine or something, or snorted roof ass or whatever.
Yeah.
You got to put your hand up and go, yep, that was me.
Yeah.
Next question.
Yeah, I think you've got to pick your battles.
The stuff would have died down immediately because as soon as he said, no, it wasn't me, and they're like, no, it's you.
Yeah.
It's the photographs there.
I think defending it, you've got to be to what end, and you're never going to change the whole internet's opinion. That people are not going to go back to their comments and delete them or be like,
so
you know what, I was wrong.
The thing
so there's no
night,
win. There's
a lot
no
of the
win
comedians
there.
Came
just
off stage. So the opening act for the show was Nina Hasty.
Yeah.
So because it's being filmed, you've got a lot of stuff that's happening that the audience aren't involved in. It's not. So you've got to do a camera shot, you've got to do an opening shot, and you've got to do audience clapping. You've got to almost clap twice. So you walk on, they clap, and they're kind of seeing the production happen.
Yeah.
So she went on first, so it's tough. Emilia had the crowd like her, so she did it. And she came off and said, there's a lady, like three rows from the front, sleeping. So she she's got a Muslim garb on, and she's got the thing around her face. Like, yeah. So you think maybe that's okay. That's kind of respectful. You in a casino environment. You don't want to be seen. I don't know how it works.
Yeah, I don't know the rules.
Then I said, "Are you sure she was sleeping?" She goes, "No, she's dosing it. She's come to the show to have a sleep." And then I realized, like, we sometimes do that. Like you said as well. No, with you can't change the entire internet's opinion.
Yeah.
She focused on this woman, and I said, no, there are 499 other people who were digging the show.
But that's a weird...
And it's kind of weird. It's like a human nature thing. We're like, why can't this woman wake up and dig my comedy?
Yeah. We actually went over that exact concept in therapy this year.
Who's we?
Me and the therapist.
Don't say we. You're fucked up multiple personality shit. Just because you got multiple personalities doesn't mean that we went for therapy.
Yeah, but they all banter personalities, Dave. They're all world-class personalities.
Are they good? Well, why do you use this one in the podcast?
Fuck off, Dave. Fuck off.
Where's the cool one? Why do you bring this
fuck right
why
off,
do you bring
Dave?
This guy?
No.
Okay, so what was it in terms of you can't change?
Well, that was specifically about focusing on one negative aspect in and amongst 30 positive ones, you know?
Well, we spoke about it outside. You said, like, there's so many lineups you want to be on.
Yeah.
Then you mentioned, so you turn it around. So you climb from the bottle inside, we're looking out.
Yeah.
And you know the ships that go in the bottle?
Yeah.
How do they get that ship in the bottle?
I think they build it in there.
They don't. They fold it and it pops up in the bottle. But anyway,
for real?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's three sticks inside that are folded. So the ship goes in flat.
Okay,
and the masts go in flat.
Up.
And then you pull the last piece as you pull and the ship goes out like this because it pulls them out.
Cool.
So that's how they do it. But what I'm saying is when you're in the bottle, you don't notice you've got this entire ship in there.
Yeah.
You're looking out the bottle. So look behind you and go, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
So that introspective look when you said, some guys are going, hey, but you're on this podcast.
Yeah.
And you're going, but I want to be in the lineup.
Yeah.
And you know what happens then? You stagnate.
Yeah.
You're just sitting. You're going, I want your thing. Like when someone else's food arrives in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And you're like, why is this better?
And you also have this, as a human, you always think that everyone else's life is so great because you only see the highlights or what they put on social media. So you'll see that this person
So what happened 20 years ago? What were we jealous of when there was no social media? Was it literally keeping up with the Joneses and you'd watch someone go,
I think you were jealous
why
of people.
Why is your life better?
I think you were jealous of people, but ones that were closer to you that you got to hang out with.
Okay, so now they're literally
now the net's
from
wider.
The world.
Yeah, so now there's more scope for jealousy, you know? And also, there's people that make money out of projecting this image on social that their lives are amazing, like these travel blogs. And it's very easy to get fixated on these people's lives that seem to be perfect and amazing, and it's not real. And your life
especially
is
there's some that are paid
also.
They're paid by companies to have that life.
Yeah,
so
it's
you
an
never
image.
Really
it's
asked
a,
him
it's
like,
a
do
manufactured
you enjoy,
thing. Yeah.
Do you enjoy all this ass that you're getting and these things you're doing? Like, I hate it.
So I watched this this documentary. It may have been Vice on an Instagram model. You know, they make money just from being hot on Instagram.
Yeah.
And it followed her for the day, and it's a vacuous life, man. Like, makeup, and then she just sits, and I'm not judging her, I'm just judging the concept or saying that it's not what it is. It takes long to get those photos. It's not as glamorous as look. She's standing
and there's also
in a
ever,
random
you're a,
place.
You're a physical person, so you've done this. Have you ever tried to face the camera, but your ass must also be facing the camera? It's a total body. There's no way you can do it as a normal human.
So you think they're living this glamorous life, but actually they're just spending their whole day at a shitty location trying to get one photo. It's not what it seems, you know? It's not this super glamorous life.
And yet it's still, the followers are still there. So is stupidity has become acceptable?
I don't know. I think it's a negative thing because the grass isn't necessarily
I'll like
greener.
A picture if it's pretty good in a bikini. It's not my...
You know what? I recently deleted most of the hot girls I was following on Instagram because I was just like, it's unhealthy.
Much.
It's like, you just spend all day looking at these unrealistic women who don't even look like that in real life.
Yeah.
And it's unfair to all the bitches out there.
Yeah, I just want to say, I'm with you guys.
I love you bitches. It's unfair.
So, from the feminist point of view, no, but you're right.
No, but you know what I'm saying, though? It's like, if all you're doing is looking at Ferraris
they
every day, you're
not
going to be pumped. And the same goes
so
for guys.
Why don't we harness this energy and start our own things where we go looking not hot, and we want people to go, if you're also not hot and slightly got a problem, then follow us. Let's see if it can work the other way around. Because there must be more people that are unhappy with their bodies and their lives than there are that are.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's 12 hotties out there that are getting the likes, million followers, bikini, everything. There must be a gazillion of us.
Average Joe.
Yeah, we just, and every day you post a picture of you in your undies with a hole in it.
Yeah.
And every day the hole just moves.
No highlights of your life and no lowlights either. Just medium things that happen.
And it's called, we are living our okay life.
Yeah. Yeah, okay life. I think that's a...
All right, cool. So we can do that.
Okay.
First shoot is outside here.
Someone write that down. Whoever's listening, write that down.
When we said, let's do this thing for the cancer, which was the Hollard... Speedo, what's it called?
Oh, Daredevil Run. I used to be involved in that.
You didn't even blink because you understood what it was about.
Yeah.
It's telling people you don't have to die as a man with your pride. So check your nuts, check your ass, have your stuff checked. And there's a ways of doing it because men will support you if you just speak to them. So you were in your Speedo immediately. You didn't even question it. You're like, yeah, let's do this. Same as the Naked Show. You just got into it.
Yeah.
So you have a personality that you don't even know about.
Yeah, and it's true. It is true. Yeah. I'm just discovering them every day, Dave. It's just and one day I'll bring one of the cool ones to the podcast.
So let's do a Thanksgiving. What is it?
Okay. So Thanksgiving, as I was saying, a lot of cultures or religions have a day of thanks for whatever. Yeah. But most of them seem to revolve around the harvest. So
don't you find that whenever you research a thing? So I researched Valentine's Day for this show.
Yeah.
And then I researched Christmas as well because I wanted to see what I would have... Because that's the other thing I do. If I see a show, I don't go back and go, I wish I was on that lineup. I go, what would I have done if I was on that lineup?
Okay.
So I'll write a set after the box, if I'm watching, I'll write a set that I would have done.
Oh, for reals?
Yeah. That's my homework.
That's very interesting, Dave.
It's a hell of a weird thing to do because you'll go, what would I have said to that heckle? What would I have said when the host introduced this guy as that?
Yeah.
So I do almost like a fake comedy set in my head.
I actually do that to a degree also, but when I watch like a Golden Globes or whatever.
Okay, what would I have done if I was
What would
Ricky
I have
Gervais?
Done? Yeah.
That's cool.
So, you know, hopefully...
It's how you... I mean, when I was at art college, they have a thing called copy ads where you had to take an ad and just copy it, literally.
Okay.
To see how good you were at it. Somewhere along the line. So what you're doing is you're taking the masters. So let's take the... If you're an artist, the masters have done it before you.
Yeah.
If you copy them, it's fine. You're not doing your own thing. You've got to start somewhere. You've got to get the
basics
of art.
Yeah.
So you can still become Picasso.
Yeah.
But
you're never
going to
be this original
Picasso
thing.
Picasso could do original stuff. Yeah. He could do fully realistic artwork.
Yeah.
But he took that and said, okay, I know the basics. Yeah. I understand perspective. I understand line. I understand use of color. Then he moved into his own. So it's not to say that... You know your first set was an Eddie Murphy-inspired set.
Yeah.
Who was it? Who's your guy?
Louis C.K.
Yeah. So many of the words that were coming out of your mouth were like Louis C.K. flavored.
Oh yeah, definitely. In fact, when I was...
That sounds horrible.
In fact, when I was... Yeah,
in light of what he
when
does.
I was thinking about the set in my head, I was kind of even in his voice. You know what I mean? His cadence.
That's it.
His...
So there's nothing wrong with that because once you've done that, you've seen the basics of the art.
Yeah.
So you can, now you go, okay, I know the use of line. I understand the things. And then you find your rhyme.
Yeah. It's like exactly when you're in a band. No one starts. Oh. You always start as a cover band.
Had at the Cape Comedy Collective, the strongest comedian influenced the other comedians. So a lot of the comedians were walking on stage like that because they saw it. And we sort of
we need to
split up because we're starting to become
the same thing.
Yeah, there's things that we're doing that we know work well. Even as hosts, the one guy hosting would use the other guy's lines. So it was like we needed to move away.
Yeah, and that can happen very easily in a tightly knit, small kind
of
data set.
In the offices, your female cycles start running the same.
Yeah.
And I think that's the concept of it. So if the comedians are hanging around in a house, which I often saw with, I think, Laz, Simi, and the three other guys, they lived together in a house.
Okay,
so
their
comedy
became
an in-joke. So they'd go on stage and do in-jokes, and they had to sort of ask them, like, is it cool for the audience? Because we didn't live with you.
Yeah.
But their jokes must have been hilarious when they've had a few, if they've had a doob, and they're five comedians at home. The jokes are hilarious, but they don't translate that part.
No, they don't. They need that context.
So this is what I'm saying. This pagan stuff is very celebrated. So Halloween, pagan festival. Valentine's Day, pagan festival. Christmas
has become
It was originally a celebration of the birth of a savior, but it was in June or April.
Okay,
so it was the guy, still the dude. But then it's changed to December because it's the end of the year.
It's
convenient. We can retail, we can sell, we can go on holiday, we're wrapping up.
It's such a commercial thing.
Yeah, so then it's so weird how we kind of scoff at paganism and go, you guys don't believe in the thing. You don't believe in God. And they don't. They believe in the seasons and the pumpkins and the wheat. And
then we lose ourselves.
There's Valentine's Day, which is based on love, secret love. They're like, let's celebrate that this guy got killed for marrying people and then the Pope killed him. So like Pope bad,
no one thinks about that,
Valentine good. But yet we don't.
You lose the message, though. I mean, I'm pretty sure the intention of Christmas wasn't to just get as much shit as possible.
But then I suppose, yeah, there was. There are some religions that don't do Christmas because of the fact that it was a gift and it was, what's the word? Arrogant and what's vain, vanity. So yeah. It's one of the seven deadly sins. So the receiving a gift is vain.
Yeah.
Like, no, I like getting gifts.
Yeah.
I have the shittest birthday. My birthday's the day after Christmas. You give me gifts.
Yeah, it should be about giving, and it's become more about receiving.
Me. Oh, you see, Ryan.
I know. That's.
I want to come to your therapist. He's got some good concepts.
She.
I looked in your eyes and I knew, because your eyes went like this.
I don't want to speak to some dude.
Why not?
I don't know. I don't know. It would be weird opening up to some guy. What does he know about emotions and feelings?
Men don't have those things. I'm trying to figure out last time I cried, and I worked it out.
Okay.
I was sitting with my kid, and it was one of those dad weekends that wasn't going well. So I've got my son for the weekend.
Okay, but it's not what you'd hoped it would be.
Yeah, no, not what I hoped. I had other stuff to do. And then I started feeling guilty going, oh, it's not his fault that I've got other stuff to do that I cancelled. So I was kind of had FOMO with my kid. What's the opposite of FOMO?
You're missing out or...
But I'm with my kid. So that's the quality of life, and you spend time with your kid. Yeah. But I wanted to be at a party or somewhere else, but I'm on the weekend with him. And then I started getting emotional already before the thing that happened that made me cry, because I thought about my dad and I thought about parents and things, and I'm like, well, I'm sitting with a dude and I can see he's not connecting with me. He's not digging the weekend either.
Yeah.
So we go and watch Boss Baby.
Two.
One.
No, on circuit.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Oh, a long time ago. Oh, I thought this
was... We watched it at the movies, so I got the popcorn and I'm angry because I didn't have any bucks. And movies is a 400 rand experience. I'm angry with myself, I'm angry with him.
It's cheaper to just get internet uncapped and download than it is to go to one movie.
Yeah, but he wanted to do that. So now I'm like, I'll sleep. Because that's the cool thing about movies. The chairs are comfortable.
Yeah,
it's air-conditioned. Popcorn's tasty, it's air-conditioned. So I'm sitting there, I'm sleeping, and I start watching the movie, and there's a point in the movie where he wakes up and realizes that he's got a brother, and then he writes the brother a letter and says, I'll look after you. You're my man. And then I look at my little guy, who's a single child.
Yeah.
He's not going to have a brother. And then you just feel like the tear just came out. Yeah. I'm like, oh, fuck.
For real, so did you really?
Proper actual tear. So I had to go. And then you get that lump in your throat. And then I just looked at him, and I thought, shame, man.
Yeah.
I'll be... So I wrote the letter to him in my head and said, okay, I'll be here. I'll be here for you.
I mean, you never sent it to him.
I never sent it to him. He doesn't have a brother.
He's going
to
grow up with issues like we all did.
Yeah, exactly.
Even like, though Dad was feeling those things, he never
Ryan's
communicated them.
If Ryan's therapist available, she's quite hot. Yeah. Like she'll be there for you, my boy. I will not be there emotionally for you. Sorry.
That's so true, though. We all have that shit with our dads, and we're like, oh, they never had, they never spoke about their emotions or showed it. And it fucked us up.
You don't
up.
Want to do that. As soon as if your dad comes and says to you, Ryan, I want to talk to you about how I felt the other day. I'm like, Dad, you're so gay. Fuck off. Let's wrestle. Let me stab you with this pole.
If my dad was like, hey, I want to talk to you, I'd immediately shit myself. Immediately. And my dad had an office at home.
With those green lamps.
I know which green lamp you're talking about, and he did.
It's a sideways lamp.
Yeah,
it's on the front of the desk.
And it looks like he's a detective.
It's leather. It's wood, and then inside of that is leather with gold beading.
That's no gold beading, but it's exactly that desk. He had an office, and he would call you in there.
It had a secret drawer, so there was a top drawer, and then you put your hand underneath it, and there was the fizzes.
Yeah. Anyway, walking in there once you had been summoned was
in his office.
Almost terrifying.
I'm scared of your dad now.
He was very fair, but.
Blonde hair.
No, fair as in principled.
But at least did he hit you?
No, I never got hit. So my parents didn't believe
me. I'll be honest. Like, I've often thought, I've looked at my kid and thought, damn, you just need a good old hiding.
Did you get hidings when you were younger, Dave?
I didn't have a dad, so my mom used to give me hidings.
Oh, well, that still counts. But not sexist,
proper, yeah? Hey, there was proper, like a wooden spoon.
Oh, yeah, stokey.
Fly swatter. A stokey doesn't hurt. You can't get a good flip on the stokey.
I never got
people
hit,
who
so
don't know what a stokey
that.
Is. No, my mom had to. She had a discipline, and she had to be the dad. So we got hit with a wooden spoon, and it makes like a round.
Yes, the wooden spoon. My mom threatened us with a wooden spoon.
No,
don't
we got
get it,
it
twisted.
Yeah, we got it. Then one day I was about 12, and I was taller than my mom, and she was like, "Do you want to just take the spoon and just hit yourself? Because I can't do this anymore."
It's a weird thing.
My mom forced us to buy Father's Day presents. On Father's Day, you had to buy her a gift. She's like, fuck you both. I'm the dad.
Actually, I know your mate of mine also.
So then you think about where did I get my sense of humor from? I'm the dad in this house. It's Father's Day. You got to buy me something. So we had to buy like a manly gift. We had to buy like a gown. Like
socks.
You had to buy a tie. You had to buy something for my mom.
And now with Jude, you don't, do you wooden spoon Jude?
I wouldn't spoon him, but I have like, he has got a smack with my hand on his ass, because there's been a point where I've gone, that's enough, are you cool? And then nothing. And I'm like, that's your second warning. Like, hey, okay. Something's going wrong here, and you need to find out.
I think that's
where
fine.
These
it's
things
just,
are.
When it's your go-to.
He's
move.
In therapy, so he can talk about it. I enjoyed my like 8 weeks of divorce therapy, and it kind of sealed what I want to do. It was incredible. Like we went there obviously to get a marriage sorted out.
For how long?
For 6 weeks, paid for by my ex-wife's company. So that was forced therapy. You guys go, because the company was kind of like, we like married people at this company. It's cool to have the stability of a marriage. So they said, go and sort it out. And if you can't, you can't. It's fine. It's up to you.
Nailed
it. That's brought to you by Coke Zero.
Coke Light.
What is that, by the way? It doesn't have a name.
It is. The new bottles are ridiculous. They only say light at the top.
And so, they've got those names on.
So every time you buy it.
I had a Vuyo the other night.
And then, and then it tells you how to say it. every time you buy one of these Cokes now, because people are buying them and thinking they're regular Cokes. So every time you buy it, they're like, you know this is light, hey?
I thought my Spice Gold was off. So I poured it again, and I had bought two.
Shit.
Because I wanted to have a nice, quiet night. Because I'm not saying
locked
I don't
in your
drink.
Own mind.
I don't drink at gigs, but when I get home.
I drink.
So then I just like, I felt so angry with myself. Like I bought a stupid Coke. With no sugar. Anyway, so.
Brandy
therapy.
Aside.
What happened was, during that thing, I discovered that I want to be a comedian. That's what I discovered. So I'm not saying you go to therapy to fix anything. You go there to discover what it is you're going to do.
Well, essentially, like that is fixing something.
It was an amazing feeling. Like, I can do this. Yeah. I want to do this. I want to do comedy. Because it came up, because I was doing comedy for 300 rand a night, twice a night. So I was making 600 rand a week. And it wasn't paying the bills. And that formed the basis of a lot of divorce issues, because I'm like, have you paid the rent? I can't pay the rent. I have 600 rent.
I'm not funny enough. No. Yet.
And then it's just like, no, I want to do this. And I think that was 18 years ago.
Shit.
So there.
So that was the catalyst. Because you told me stories about
your
lied. Mom.
Those are all lies, eh?
Your mom.
I make up a lot of my stories.
They're just completely fabricated. Who are you, Dave? Is your name, real name even
David? My mom
David?
Used to say, if someone phones, you must tell them that I'm sleeping. Then I can't come to the phone. So the phone would ring and my mom would be in the kitchen and then she'd just fall to the floor and like in a sleeping position, because she hated lying. Not lying down, but she didn't want to lie.
Yeah.
So if the phone rang, and it was old school, it would ring and you'd pick it up. And then you say, I can speak to your mom. It's like, sorry man, my mom's sleeping at the moment. And then she'd just hit the deck, eh? She'd have something in her hand.
A pot of boiling water.
Just go. She'd just sleep. So she'd never, and it was a great lesson for me. Like, she's not lying.
She's lying less now. She's not asleep.
She's in a first phase of REM sleep.
Yeah, it's not a pure lie anymore.
Yeah. But and also, you weren't allowed to answer the phone until it rang three times.
Yeah. Oh, for reals?
Yeah, because she said, why is the chaos with the phone? It's going to ring. My sister would jump from the couch and do like a dive.
Yeah, your heart starts racing. Even now when the home phone rings.
And then, so the phone would ring and she'd answer it, because obviously it would be, she'd want to get to it first so that her little brother wouldn't answer the phone and make jokes with some guy that was phoning. So it's almost like when someone gives you their phone to look at a picture and you start scrolling into other pictures.
That's the olden day answering of the phone. That's so funny.
Said,
that's actually.
There was a rule. You can't answer the phone unless it's rung three times.
Yeah.
And then you also had to say your name. And the phone number. Have you ever done that on a cell phone?
Oh, my granddad used to answer 896-2220. He used to say the number. That's a weird thing, right?
It's not weird, because in those days you would dial in a circle, so you didn't know if you had dialed the right number. There was no record of your dialing. So you'd dial a circle, you dial a naught, and then the phone would go back to normal. And you're like, fuck, did I dial a naught?
Oh, okay, yeah.
So that's where drunk dialing comes from.
Because everyone felt drunk. It must have been so difficult. And a blessing, actually, to not be able to dial the number.
I got a wrong number once. And so I talk for long. My mom's like, she didn't know it's the wrong number. My sister doesn't know the wrong number. So I'm chatting to this person. So she said, who was that? I said, I don't know, but I'm going on a date on Wednesday. So I go on a date with this person that phoned with the wrong number that I spoke to for 18 minutes. So it's an older person. She's not, I'm 19. Yeah. She fetches me in her car. We go on a date. And then that was the night when she says, are you at Vossi? I'm like, yeah, my results are out. So she goes, well, let's go see your results. So this is after we've had like 8 bottles of Lanzerac Rosé. Do you know what that is?
A headache.
It's shaped like a what's the thing up in your bum?
Dick.
Yes, your therapy is very no suppository. The lens rocker's eyeball is shaped like a suppository. So it's sharp on the one end and bulbous on the other end.
No, but I mean, after it's a six bottles when you're 18, but I know what shape it is.
It should be. Don't put the
so
bulbous
you think it's
end.
Fine. You think it's fine, and then all of a sudden, oh, this isn't
so
too bad.
After seven bottles of lens rocker's eyeball at the Bertram's Hotel, she says, let's go see your Rossi results. So I'm drunk and not kind of in my way. I'm 18 drunk when you don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
So we drive to Wits University. The security guard's there. At the medical, because it was a medical exam. It was like I studied physiology and anatomy. So you had to go through the Wits Medical School. Yeah. So it's open 24 hours just so the guys can learn. So the security guard says, you can't come in because it's locked. So I'm like, no, we're just coming to see our results. So he's like, okay. Now we're lost in the medical faculty drunk.
That's a funny story.
Trying to find results with this lady that I met on the phone who was... wrong number. And I'm like, am I going to get sex out of this? I don't know. She's
you were
like,
hoping. You were 18. You were definitely
hoping.
She was
35. And she's not bad. So then I'm drunk. So I'm there. And then the weirdest thing is like the wine made me depressed immediately because the results were there. And I had failed every
like on your ass.
So this is my second year at varsity. And I'm now going to the army.
Oh, shit.
So she just held me. And I was just like, she goes, what are you going to do? I'm like, maybe if we come back tomorrow,
I'll have
there'll
sex
be different
you.
Results. Yeah. There's no sex involved. I just got dropped off at my house. I think I got a kiss. And that's how wrong numbers can sometimes
comes get you a kiss.
Get you fucked failed. Out of university. Yeah. So my
is that a true
learning,
story though now, Dave? Because now there's just doubts
know,
in my mind.
You don't know.
It's just doubts in my mind.
You don't know.
But we wanted to, because we're running out of time, we brought up Thanksgiving.
We're not running out of time.
Time is a loose
the last
concept.
10 minutes. Okay, Thanksgiving.
Yes.
What do you have to be thankful for? What is the...
It ties...
What is the theme? What is Thanksgiving?
I think it's to look back retrospectively over
in
a year.
In America, what is the real reason? When was the first one? So the pilgrims came
there. It had to do with harvest.
And the natives came there, and they knew how to grow stuff, and the pilgrims knew how to do stuff. So they had this like little fight in the beginning, where they killed most of them.
Okay, this I didn't get
then
on
they had, yeah, then they had a dinner. I they won't that. Put it because the political correctness has changed what you find on Google. And some things are not believable. So there was maybe a little bit of a war first where they kind of wiped out a lot of the locals.
I mean, I can believe that. That's
but you think about it. A local that's been living there for a long time knows how to grow crops.
Yeah.
Whereas a pilgrim coming from England to America wouldn't know.
Not
so they will grow. They'll grow the crops they grew in England.
Yeah.
Which would be based on
they kept on
the
saying New
patterns.
England. Was that a place in America?
Well, exactly. That's what happened. So they arrived from England and they just called it New England. I mean, York is in England. New York is just New York.
Really?
No. New Hampshire. Hampshire's in England.
Yeah.
Boston is in America. But
anyway,
so they came there, so they had a bit of a war. So I stand corrected from American people who tell me, no, I'm talking shit. But eventually it was like a peace offering going, how the fuck do you grow these things? So then they had to have the locals going, this is how we grow it because this season that you're thinking of is autumn in England isn't autumn in America. So it's still Northern Hemisphere, but this is how our autumn is, and it's that would be pagan. So then you have the bringing together of the two cultures, and then they had like a, well, let's be thankful that we fucking can live here because a lot of us are getting killed by diseases and stuff, and let's have a Thanksgiving. So it became first of all like a crossing over of borders, going you come chow with us and we'll come chow with you because you seem to have more control over what food grows.
We're hungry, we're eating sticks.
Why is our cows are dying?
Yeah, we got sad cows. They're built on already, they're not even dead.
So that's that culture of saying thanks exists now, but it's a massive dinner in America. It looks like when the photos I saw, so obviously celebrities were saying happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Let's think about the fires in California. Is it California?
Yes.
So let's think about this thing. So it was a Thanksgiving of nature as well as people, of humans. So there was a lot of aid going on. There was a lot of let's
which
help
is good.
Someone
it's
else
a positive thing.
So instead of it's a suppository thing.
It's a suppository. It's a weird shaped suppository thing.
Instead of eating all this food, let's go help some homeless people and let's do things.
Yeah,
it's funny.
So anyway, so what are you thankful for this?
You know, what I'm thankful for last night because there was a pure fateful thing. I didn't know that I was going to get onto this lineup. Yeah.
You got to write.
I was in that same boat, and I literally was in that glass bottle looking out, going, why are all these people getting these gigs?
Yeah.
And I wasn't getting them. And then I had to go, hang on a minute, Dave. There's another comedian out there going, you got a podcast, you're making some beer, you do whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah.
So stop doing that. So my Thanksgiving and my message for myself was stay in your lane. Don't even stray. You've got a path, and it's working. And as soon as, if you,
you know, stay in your lane sounds kind of negative.
It sounds negative because that means you can't move into other realms.
Trust your path. Trust your own journey.
But in this race, there is a lane and it's for you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a more positive spin on it.
And you're staying there. Did you ever do relay races?
Yeah. I mean, I sucked, but yeah.
You know how slow you run when you're looking next to you to see the other guy?
Yeah.
You'll run slower. Look in front of you and run your race.
Yeah.
So it does sound weird when stay in your lane.
Yeah, because that's a negative thing. Like, you know.
Yeah, you stay in your lane. Stay in your lane, don't come and get involved in my shit.
But I think what you're saying is trust your own journey and don't let.
But I didn't even. That sounds too zen and too weirdly.
I like that, though. I smoke weed, so I love that.
See, I don't even smoke weed and I lie about my life. There was a kid next door called Dave Levinson. I actually even stole his name and everything. So I don't even live. Not even me.
Think of all the potential that Dave would have had before you.
So the book that I brought in today is called Henny Youngman, Take My Life, Please.
Okay.
And he's an old school American comic, old guy, proper. I think he's dead now.
But was he a stand-up at some stage? Or just
stand-up and against the grain because it's a Jewish family and that stand-up was seen as like a really horrible career because you had to do stand-up in the clubs. And the clubs were vaudeville and bawdy, and like there were strippers or dancers, and
you're
just seen
it's
as
like
don't go
yeah,
there.
Like
so
a CD
he's
kind
young,
of.
He's 19, 18, whatever it is, and he's getting 5 minutes of storytelling. Then the guys would say, "Okay, we're gonna storyteller." So he'd literally come on between the dancer and the juggler or the poodle handler or something.
The variety
weird.
Show.
But it's late at night, and he's not allowed to be there. He's underage. He'd do the thing and then come back and lie to his mom. So they put him into these classes for violin, learning culture, learning Jewish culture, doing his shul, and he became an incredible violinist, a concert kind of standard, but he would use the violin in his comedy. So he would tell a joke and be
crazy. Yeah.
So it became a thing. But the whole thing of that is stay in your lane. Like he knew what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And he'd stand there and say, "Yes, I want to do it." So the tenacity is there, and that's what I'm thankful for. Like I lost my hunger.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not to be a downer, but I think there's been a lot of difficult months for you, Dave. In our private chats, there have been some struggles. So I think a little bit of positivity was a good thing.
Well, that's the thing. The stuff that happened was because of the lack of hunger.
Yeah.
To sit and wait. He also tells a story in there about an agent when he said, "Have you got an agent?" And the guy said, "Yeah, I've got an agent." So the guy said, "Yeah, but I've seen you. You're brilliant. Where is your agent? Is he here? Because I've been here for the last 4 or 5 weeks and I've seen you every night."
Yeah.
"And I haven't seen him." He says, "No, he's not here. He gets me the gigs and whatever." He says, "How many gigs has he got you?" He says, "Well, he charges 20% and he gets me the gigs." So he said, "Well, which gigs has he got you?"
Yeah.
So this guy said to him, "I will charge you 10%.
Yeah.
And if you come with me, but for the rest of your life." This was the chat that he had in a bar at Hoppers 2 in the morning. So he said, "Because if I get you a gig for R1 million and I can't get it for you, you've made nothing."
Yeah.
"If I get you a gig for R1,000, you've made R1,000.
Yeah.
So he said, "Stop worrying about this $1 million gig."
Yeah.
"But I can get you a gig tomorrow night at my church for $250. Are you in?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "No, but I don't charge that." He says, "How much money have you got on you now?" So it was a big lesson for me to learn that as well. Like, do the gig.
But it's got to be a balance then.
No, I wouldn't.
Think?
You know what? If you want to, eventually, if a client starts saying to you, "Well, we got you for R2,000 last year. Why are you charging us 20 this year?" You got to go, "Well, that's my fee. I negotiated that fee because I want to do the gig." So it's different with corporate.
Yeah.
But I would say if someone phones you tomorrow and says, "Come down to this bar, come do the thing," do it. Take you're sitting on your ass, and you could have got R1,000 from the Keg and Beagle.
Yeah,
what are you doing? Why are you staying at home?
Yeah,
so I
agree. As long as it's not diminishing
hunger,
your brand, but
well, that's bullshit because the 15 people at the Keg and Beagle are drunk. They're not even remembering your brand.
No, fair point.
Do the gig, bro.
Yeah,
that's even Mel Miller's advice to me as well. Is just do the gig, but he might have got it from that book as well. Don't say no to the gig. You're sitting at home, and you could be making $500 petrol.
So you say last night was good for you in terms of...
It was good for me to see that I haven't lost because I didn't know that I could write. So I had to write a set. I had to write 25 minutes of comedy that hasn't been done before, that's been filmed. Yeah. I could have tested it out at Kitchener's, but to me, I didn't do that because of that. Also, that fear and the hunger wasn't there. So I should have gone to Kitchener's and said, "How's it, guys? I'm doing this Valentine's show. Can I test this material?"
Do you think it'll be there now, more so?
The hunger.
The next show, would you go out and test it?
No, now I want to write. Now I'm in the mood. Now I want to go to the box on Sunday and say, "Guys, I've got 5 more minutes of something."
Yeah.
Or take the stuff I did there and really, really smooth
it out. Yeah,
like,
run it out, yeah.
Because Claudine, bless her, she said to me, "Can I direct your show?" And I'm like, "Yes." Because she's got a physicality that I don't have.
Yeah.
So if I didn't do that, that's the other thing. If you didn't do it, no one would have seen you. You wouldn't have got the job.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood used to carry like boxes and bags around that were empty. On the Universal lot or wherever the Paramount.
Oh, so he looked like he deserved to be there.
No, he didn't deserve to be there. He was carrying boxes because he knew someone would stop him. And exactly what happened. They were like, you look tall enough. Come stand here. So he would have to stand there to be the height of the actor that wasn't there.
Okay.
That's, think about that. You take this massive guy, not even a body double. They're trying to light the guy. So same as Clark Gable.
Yeah.
So they're like, you stand there, please, because you're the same height as him. So they need to be standing there, and eventually someone would say, where's that guy? Put him in the background. So then he's in the background. Yeah. But if you're not there, you're not going
to
be
asked. Like I said, you got to show up. You know what I mean? I think Steven Spielberg did that. He just pretended to... just like that.
Pretended.
Pretended to be something on a film lot. And well, that story ended quite positively for him and cinema.
Okay, cool.
Steven
Spielberg. So we've got the... for next week, we're going to be doing some Christmassy, not holiday-based things. So I want to talk about great podcasts that you can download on this, on Cliff Central. So I want to talk about the best of this. Because when you're traveling, one of the best things to do is to download a podcast. So next week, we're going to talk about these shows that are on this one that we would listen to. And then coming up now is the sex show with John T. Searle and his crowd of freaks.
Thanks for crowd of freaks. What was that? thanks. That went quickly, hey? Am I right?
That's right.
We just blinked our eyes and we just...
I'm going to go cry now. Let's take a photo of ourselves for the thing. Thanks very much for listening. I'm Dave Levinson.
I'm Ryan Holiday. Have a good one.
This is CliffCentral.com.